All right, well, part two this week. thankful for God's grace in the mix of it all with a few glitches last week, but this week it's story time, and so I look forward to sharing a little bit of what God is doing through Power to Change in Australia. Let's see if I can do this PowerPoint. All right, there we go. So just to start out with, what do we do in Power to Change in Australia? And so our heartbeat really is to encounter Jesus today, impact Australia tomorrow, and to reach the nations for eternity. And that is the DNA of Crew Global, of Power to Change. Is to really win people to Christ, to build them up in their faith, and then to send them out, whatever that may look like, whether it's with a missions organization or in the work that God has called them to do out in secular society. We are all called to be sent as God's workers in his harvest field. And that's what we're trying to do, and that is our heartbeat and mission. So, little picture. So that is Power to Change. That is us. So that is the whole of our organization. This was taken in January at our Connection Conference that we hold every other year when we bring all of our people together, kids included, and this event is one of my babies that I run of a week-long conference for our people to really just a space where we can encourage one another, where we can hopefully reconnect in a fresh way as to this is why I do what I do in our calling. But I thought it's just great to show a picture. This is the organization. Kenneth and I are up there, little faces in there in the mix. And we are spread across the whole of Australia, not in every state yet, but working on that. So there are about 180 of us, missionaries, some people who are employed by the organization, a whole bunch of volunteers. And so we just continue to look forward to what God is going to do in and through us. And we have a little video that shares just a little snippet of this is Power to Change.
Let's be honest, half of you have never heard of Power to Change. We're all right with that, actually. Making our name famous has never been the point of our work. For the record...
Just when you thought you had all of the tech sorted. Yes. We'll just hang on here for a moment. So we started Power to Change. Oh,
let's be honest. Half of you have never heard of Power to Change.
Should I go back, Gary?
No, I got something messed up on.
Globally, the crew started in 1951 in Australia. The ministry began. While Gary's sorting that, I'll just pray for time. Lord, thanks for today. Thanks for just the privilege we have to gather together. And thank you for the work that you're doing in Australia and around the world. And thank you for the ministry of Power to Change and the way that you are using it globally. In Jesus' name, amen. And pray for our tech.
Let's be honest. Half of you have never heard of Power to Change. We're all right with that, actually. Making app.
Try clicking the button under.
I'm getting no clickable action. Oh, there we go. Our new national director is in the front with his wife. That's called my.
Let's be honest, half of you have never heard of Power to Change. We're all right with that, actually. Making our name famous has never been the point of our work. For the record, we've been around for a while, and we're global too, working under different names. So you probably do know us. But there's always been one simple purpose behind what we do. We want to connect people with Jesus and with each other. You see, we believe that when people have a real connection with Jesus and others, everything changes. So, whether we're doing campus ministry, equipping local churches to make disciples, connecting with young people in schools and online, creating digital platforms for the curious to learn about Jesus, or making Jesus' love practical in places on earth where it's needed the most. Power to Change is here to help fulfill the Great Commission in the next generation. The job in Australia and around the world is not done. We're using new, innovative ways to share Jesus. Rolling up our sleeves, we'd love to partner with the good work that you're doing. So please, join with us, and together, let's connect people with Jesus and each other.
We got the video. We made it. So I'm going to share a few stories from actually some of the even the clips that we saw in the video. But just wanted to start out by sharing a little bit of kind of with our national ministry. We've had some change going on since the start of the year. We have a new national director. So we've handed over leadership, and with new leadership comes a lot of change. Throughout the organization, and I anticipate we'll continue to see change for at least another 6 months before the dust settles with that. But one of the really exciting things that took place back in the end of May, we gathered about 50 of our leaders together in one location from all across the ministry to do some strategic planning and to kind of look ahead at the next 5 years and just ask the question, you know, what are we trusting God for? What is it going to take to reach the average Australian out there in our circles of influence where our people work? And it was just a really rich time as we gathered our up and coming and next generation, really, of people, and it was more than just a brainstorm. The aim of that time and some ongoing opportunities across the organization is to have a five-year direction statement that we continue to circle around to and ask the question, where is God taking us in the next step? And over our 2 days together, we walked away with over 100 ideas. Around about 8 or 9 different themes that while I have been over here, our national director has been gathering each state to kind of help refine this document. And actually this week I'll be gathering with our national leadership team on Thursday And we'll kind of do a touch point on where we're at with that document. I know there's one more online gathering that I will join next week, as well as to capture those who weren't able to make it to a live gathering. So there's some really exciting things just to see some synergy building across the organization, a desire to collaborate more with one another for the sake of the gospel and making Jesus known in a country where many people do not know him. So I'm going to share just some stories from around the ministry and where God is at work and what is happening through just our day-to-day activity. And I'm going to start with our largest branch of the organization, which was on our local campuses and university students. So the end of June, early July, we're stepping into winter, and across the nation we have winter conferences, and they're gatherings for students to join, typically within each state. We did have two states gather together, so I believe we had three winter conferences taking place, along with some opportunities for our international students to gather in some unique ways that really minister to the international student community. But our students gather in what I would describe, it's like this greenhouse effect, as they are getting great biblical teaching. They have a lot of Christian community. There are often non-believers who have come along who are engaging with us. And usually there's opportunity to put into practice what you're learning as there are outreaches within the local communities where these events happen, to go out and share your faith and to talk to people about Jesus. So those have just taken place. And as I engaged with our campus director, he shared with me that in both the Queensland and, we had Queensland and New South Wales, that conference just happened last week, a couple weeks ago. But speakers in Victoria and Western Australia put a challenge out to the students in one of their talks, with a call to really renew their focus on the Great Commission and to have courage and boldness as a student on campus in this unique season of their life. And at each of those two different events, about one-third of the students raised their hand or responded to that call, which is really exciting just to see God at work and stirring the hearts of our young people today. And in Western Australia, there were two non-Christians who were present at that event, and it was shared that there's a sense that they're getting close to actually receiving Christ as Lord and Savior as they continue to engage with us. And have a quote, and it's up here on the screen from one of the students in the WA conference. The worship and prayer night was such a great time to connect with God individually. I felt the presence of God and was so comforted by the collective vulnerability by everyone in the room as we felt this presence. So just very encouraging with that. And then even as I speak, in our winter time, people from the Northern Hemisphere often will come down and engage in their summer missions in Australia. So they come to winter for outreach. And so we have some teams in different locations who have joined up with our campus ministries. So we have a team from Hong Kong who has come to Melbourne, so working alongside the ministry there. We have a US team in Perth, and so that is a picture of the Perth crew. And even one of the exciting things connected with that team, we have a group of people from the U.S. who have come to Perth to serve for 1 to 2 years, so we call that a stint team. And so one of the current stinters in Perth is coordinating the work that is taking place by the students who have come to Perth for about 4 weeks. And Joy, this person who's coordinating all of the work taking place there, she caught her first vision by coming on a summer missions to Perth, and she decided to come back for another 1 to 2 years to serve alongside the team there. And a story from some of the outreach that is taking place, you know, now, that was shared with me. I'm just going to read it. So Caden is one of the U.S. summer mission students who is there. And so the story was shared. Tushar and Caden had a chat with a student volunteer today at Curtin University. He was originally from Malaysia and has Buddhist roots, but not well connected to that faith. As they spoke with him, he showed an interest in spiritual things, and so they took out the KGP, Knowing God Personally, a little track that we use, and led him through it. He did not know anything about Christianity besides having heard of Jesus before and had meaningful questions along the way. When they got to the prayer, they were ready to finish up when he said he would like to pray the prayer. They double and triple checked with him by clarifying his intention and understanding, and then he prayed to receive Christ. And so Tushar and Caden were unsure of Nick, that was the student they were connecting with, of his understanding of Christianity. But they will continue to follow up and do what we call a Christianity Explained, which just walks through the gospel step by step over several weeks to help people grow and understand either a decision that they've made or that's also another training tool that we use just to help people who are seeking know who is Jesus, who is this person that you're always talking about, and why should he be significant to me. So we can keep Nick and Tushar and Caden in our prayers as they continue to minister, and pray that we see just the newfound faith of Nick being lived out in his own life. And just one final thing that we can keep in mind with our campus ministry. This is the season where we start opening up our registrations for our own summer missions, which take place from mid-November into December and sometimes all the way into January. So we're trusting the Lord to raise up 200 students who will go to both a combination of local summer missions in all of our key cities, as well as students who will go to some international locations. So probably 2 to 3 locations for that. So some exciting things happening with our campus movement. Church movements. We have a church movements team, and they exist to equip and send people to connect communities with Jesus so that we can see Jesus-centered communities within reach of every person. And the work that they do is kind of happens in some different avenues. One is called Shift M2M, and that is really reaching out to pastors and church leaders and how do I build a disciple-making community? And so there are training opportunities to engage with leaders in what could this look like for my community. So we had different groups going all the time with Shift, Shift M2M. A new tool that we've been using for probably a couple years now is called My Friends, and it's can either be online or live, and it's really an opportunity to help the average person, and often you'll see Bible study groups or just groups within a community engage in it over, I think it's 9 to 12 weeks, and just how do I live out this disciple-making lifestyle? How do I connect with my friends who don't know Jesus? And so you walk through that with a community of people over 8 to 12 weeks and are challenged in, okay, what am I trusting God for? How do I pray into this? How do I start that, what may feel like awkward conversation with my coworker? So it's some really great training that we're slowly hearing stories of God using it as people step out in faith and really trust God to do what only God can do in changing lives. And then another opportunity through our church movements is they recently held a conference called Multiply, and it was a gathering of church leaders. This was held in Tasmania, where they had about 40 participants joined from all over Australia. And there was just great training and engagement and a disciple-making forum and talking about what's working and what's not working. And it was just a really rich time as leaders were able to spur one another on in leading their churches and leading the communities that they are a part of in building the body of Christ. So some great opportunities taking place through our church movement strategy. Next is our youth. And our youth ministry exists really kind of in our Sydney area in New South Wales. And some of the challenges with our youth strategy is they reach out to the young people. So often it's high school level into early young adult is their biggest audience. And some exciting things going on. COVID actually helped move them forward in a unique way as they'd been kind of playing around with how do we get out into the digital space. And when COVID hit, that was the only option. So they have been doing some streaming opportunities for the last four years now. And that is a map. The performance team within our youth strategy has just been seeing some exciting things happen. So they have a streaming channel that they run every week. And that gives a little snapshot of where people are engaging from with them. So you can see it's not just Australia, there are people in North America, Canada, Europe. And I want to share a story of a 21-year-old man who has connected with them from Sweden, of all places. And one of our people shared, his name is Mike. He attended church as a child but drifted away from faith as a teen. While off work recovering from a motorcycle accident, he started spending a lot of extra time online. One night, he came across our channel on Twitch and responded right away to my invitation to join a weekly small group. In his group, we have been working through a resource for new believers called First Steps. After a session focused on the importance of sharing our faith, Mike came back the next week and shared that he called his best friend from high school and invited him to join an Alpha course with him. He also let us know he'd started writing down his own testimony and wanted to be ready to share it if the opportunity arose. Incredibly, that opportunity came just 1 week later when Mike joined a pancake outreach with a local church he started attending. After struggling to start any conversation with the people they were serving pancakes to, he silently asked God to give him more boldness. Within minutes, two 16-year-old boys approached him and struck up a conversation. They talked for almost an hour, and Mike was so excited to tell the rest of us that he had shared his testimony with those two teens, the testimony he had just written the week before. Praise God for the opportunity, Mike, to help Mike restore his relationship with Jesus and for the bold steps he's taking to share his faith. So just really encouraging and inspiring, and even I think a challenge for us. What are we trusting God for? And are we willing to take those next little steps of action, even that you're sitting there, you know, he was sitting there in the pancake thing, asking God silently, give me someone to share my story with. So that's just one of the exciting things taking place. Our performance team, so that, that's a snapshot of our performance team, and they go out into high schools and youth groups and have opportunities to perform. So I'm not sure if their tour is finished. It may be finished now, but they were in an area north of Sydney where they were touring at different schools and had some opportunities to see God at work. So when they go out, they perform a number of just kind of modern, relevant music that connects with our young people. And so that helps hook them in more or less. And after doing that for a while, then they will transition into a time of sharing their own personal testimonies and how they have seen Jesus transform their own lives. And then often through that, they have an opportunity to really give a call out or have an opportunity for students to respond to what they have heard. And so through their performances, they did see three students make a personal decision to follow Christ. And they've also seen many join online in their streaming opportunities. And when students do make a decision, they either connect them to a local school chaplain or we find a way to make sure they are connected with someone so they're not just, I made a decision, and you keep going on with your life, but there's an opportunity for follow-up and learning what does it mean that I've now made this decision. So that's just really exciting what God is doing in that space, and both live now, again, back in schools and getting out there and sharing, but also through the work that they are doing online and reaching out to a much more broad audience. Next is a little bit from our digital strategy area, and this is kind of a new area that we're continuing to learn and grow in as our world is becoming much more digitally engaged, and we see young people online gaming and doing all kinds of things on their phone, on their iPads, on their devices, whatever their device may be. We just continue to look for ways to build content and to share the stories to help people think about who is Jesus and why is the gospel message important. And so one of the things that they've done a series of videos on people who either are still connected with us or have been connected with us and kind of where are they now. So have a video from one of those people.
I'm Melanie, and I studied international development at La Trobe University back in 2013 to 2015. My involvement at Powder Change back then, well, I was convinced that I wasn't going to be spending much time at uni and just wanted to be in and out, not join any clubs, but a group of summer mission people from the US found me on the lawn one day and soon discovered that I was a Christian and put me in touch with some people at what was known as Student Life back then. And that began my journey at Powder Change. Yeah, I was connected with April, who discipled me, and yeah, just was part of weekly meetings. Got to go on a summer mission and on some media conferences as well. What I remember most about my time with Powder Change while at uni, yeah, I think I just have great memories of spending time sitting around with new people that I'd met, new Christians that, yeah, showed me how to share my faith, and just having the opportunity to, yeah, talk to people that were interested in learning more about faith when I hadn't had that opportunity before. Towards the end of my time at uni, I was at my last mid-year conference. I wasn't really sure what I was going to be doing when I graduated. I'd always thought I would work for a humanitarian organization. Yeah, I was there one day at mid-year conference and saw this big sign of, you know, who is Power to Change and this campus and all these different strategies. And one of them was Global Aid Network. And yeah, I had no idea that GAIN was part of Power to Change. So yeah, I was able to learn more about them, went along to the night of, you know, continuing your involvement with Power to Change and what that would look like. And I didn't think that that was part of the plan, but yeah, I've now been serving with Power to Change through Global Aid for 8 or 9 years, I think. And yeah, it's just been a wonderful journey. I'm really passionate about seeing people's physical needs be met through humanitarian aid, but also pairing that with sharing the gospel and seeing people come to faith. And that was exactly what GAIN was doing. It was just really exciting to be part of that, just coming straight out of university. So I got to travel a lot, and yeah, GAIN does medical mission trips to the Philippines, Cambodia, India. This year we're starting in Vietnam as well. And then yeah, got right involved with the Water for Life initiative in Africa, a project that is part of drilling wells in West Africa and in Tanzania also. So yeah, just a really exciting few years of getting to see the work of God all around the world and meeting amazing people along the way that are part of that. So I'm now a mum to 2 little boys, so spending a lot more time at home, but still able to continue serving with GAIN. So yeah, really thankful for this journey. Yeah, so when I think of how my time at Power to Change has shaped me since university, I just think I'm so thankful to have met so many new people and Christians that live out their faith in different ways. And being from a small church straight out of high school, and yeah, just being able to connect with different people and be discipled and learn how to share my faith, and then to be challenged by people that were living in this way. So yeah, I'm just really thankful for my time at Power to Change.
So a real life testimony, and that actually was a nice lead-in, as Melanie is one of our workers with Global Aid, who partners with GAIN. And as she shared the work within that part of the ministry, it's really our humanitarian arm, where we do medical missions in the Philippines, Cambodia. This year we're partnering with Vietnam for the first time. And we'll be sending a team in November. And kind of it's kind of where the Lord leads with that to some level. Water for Life has been just a wonderful initiative. We work with Power to Change in Canada. With Water for Life, Melanie has been to Benin in Africa, where our job is to raise money and then help get water wells in locations that do not have them. And that ministry has actually branched out, where in some locations we actually have opportunity to do some ministry in women's general health, that there are a lot of really felt needs. And Melanie's sister actually has joined the ministry and has also been working with Water for Life, as well as some of the women's hygiene training. We had a trip to Tanzania back in November. And some things that we take very for granted of just easy access to just women's hygiene. Young women are impacted tremendously in ways that we just cannot imagine. Through the training and just getting some education and even the provision of some basic resources of feminine hygiene pads and, you know, how to take care of yourself with just good sanitation and sanitary practices. And it actually opens up new avenues and opportunities for young women in different locations in Africa. A new thing, we have a new partnership with Filters of Hope, and so we have a team that has just returned from Fiji, where through an organization in the U.S. who make these filters, and it's just like a filter that goes in a bottle that filters the water so people can have clean drinking water. again, something that we take very for granted, probably, that parts of the world today still do not have good, healthy water, which then impacts, you know, illness and well-being. So I'm excited to hear a little bit how this new project in the trip to Fiji went. I haven't heard any news on that one yet. So that's a little bit about global aid. This last area is probably one of the things I am most excited about, to see what God is going to do over the next couple of years through our ministry. And it's in partnership with the Jesus Film, which is one of our ministries in Crew Global. And they are seeing, I think, a dream of a few people, both within Crew Global and the Jesus Film, but as well as the dream of some people who work in the movie industry and in animation in particular. As we speak, they are in the process of creating the animated story of Jesus, which is aimed to be out in movie theaters sometime in 2026. So we have people from places like Disney and Pixar working in partnership with the Jesus Film to create Jesus. and I have a, I'll just show the movie clip so we have a short video.
Animation is an art form. Really, you can go to the middle of Africa, or you can go to, you know, Manhattan, New York City, and young people resonate with animation.
We have to look at the world globally. There is a very vibrant young generational cohort that God is raising up. And the question is, how will we, who consider ourselves leaders today, leaders in the church, how do we serve them?
This film will launch in theaters in 31 different nations and go beyond that very rapidly into every language that the Jesus Film is currently in, over 2,000.
I think it's beyond an evangelistic tool. I think this is going to be a culture-shaping tool.
So that's why we partnered with an outside studio to develop this. And they have artists coming in from Pixar, from Disney. The standard that we're going after is theater quality animation, because the story of Jesus is worth it.
We know we're making a film for theatrical release in 2025, but we're creating assets that we'll be able to use and mold and apply into those realities of AR, VR, the metaverse. Because again, how we consume media today, I promise you, will not be how we consume media 5 years from now, and certainly 10 years from now.
So this is gonna have an impact on multiple generations. It's gonna reach people that wouldn't otherwise be reached.
When I think about the, I'm trying to get emotional. When I think about the big picture, how awesome is it to say I was a part of that?
It's not about a movie. It's about Jesus. That's the mission.
So, that's just a really small clip of what is going on with that. Recently, at the kind of early June, we had 4 different launches across Australia to help us connect with the local church and to share what is on the horizon, because our heartbeat is that people are ready and prepared. With so many young people who engage with animation, and they are the next generation. This is just a really significant opportunity for people around the world, not just Australia, to have an opportunity to see Jesus afresh, so to speak, in an animated form. And we want to be able to come alongside the church and, you know, to be honest, I am trusting God to move in an unprecedented way across Australia. But it's going to take making it known to the church. Our hope is to be engaging with over 10,000 churches by that point in time. And so that is a huge faith goal for us. We are trusting that the movie will be launched in over 500 cinemas across Australia, and that there will be over 2,000 screenings of the film when it is launched in 2026. And it's going to be launched here in the U.S., so it's not just Australia. As the director of our Jesus Film Project shared, the aim is for it to be launched in 31 different languages. So multiple locations around the globe when it goes out, so people can hear the story of Jesus in their own heart language. And I know they will be working diligently to get it translated into the many languages that we currently have the Jesus film in, and I believe it's over 2,000 languages now. So just really exciting what God is doing in that space, and what we're trusting the Lord to move with that. Finally, just a little bit closer to my heart and some of what I'm doing. This year I have the privilege of coaching some women globally in operational roles, as I serve in an operational role. And so while I am here, every couple weeks I'm meeting with this group of women online, where I'm coaching a young woman from Thailand, someone from the Philippines, and we have a local who is a good friend of mine who's Australian. So this is just 3 women out of about 25 to 30 people who are participating in a global operations leadership development program that lasts for the full year of 2024. So it's just a privilege to be able to invest in leaders and share from my own learning and experience over time, and to help them grow in the work that is taking place in their own country. So that's just one of the fun things I get to do. And then just to wrap up, I've just put together some prayer points and different ways that you can be praying for the ministry as well as for Kenneth and myself. Just pray for the work that's taking place with the animated story of Jesus, that God would just be working in an unprecedented way across the country of Australia, as we just trust him to move in the hearts of Australians through that. It's like we are praying and asking God to impact over 1 million lives as that movie comes out. And that sounds daunting even to me when I say that. And not that we will be engaged with all of those lives, but we want the local church to be able to engage with the many people that we hope are impacted in a very positive way through that movie and through the Word of God. The 2 teams that I lead, operations and prayer, just continue to trust that the Lord would bring in more people to serve in kind of the behind-the-scenes roles, because if we don't have people behind the scenes, we can't keep our people out on the front lines. So we're the ones doing all of the stuff, all of the unglamorous work that needs to be done to keep an organization functioning. And we need people praying as well. Just pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to draw people to himself. throughout Australia. We're called to do our part, but we're not the one who changes lives. It's God's work. And so just pray that the Lord is drawing people and connecting us to these people who need to hear, and that we are boldly sharing. Just the ongoing, kind of on a more personal note, the wisdom, discernment, energy, stamina, everything that is needed in closing out my dad's estate and working with my brothers, and it's just a daunting task, and that of making decisions, and the Lord has given me the task of being the executor, so I just carry that extra weight with that. So just, we definitely appreciate your prayers and know that people have been praying while we're here. But we know we won't get everything done on this trip, and there will be more work that my brothers will continue to carry on, and I will probably need another trip back sometime. And I will keep you posted. And then finally, just for Kenneth and I, just to have some little moments before we head back to Australia, because we will both jump right back into things straight away, that we can find some space for just some refreshment personally, and that it's not all task, task, task while we're here, because we are both carrying some level of workload of our own work along with all of the work on the farm. And so that is an update, and just some little snapshots of just the exciting things. There's so much that God is doing, and I think we want to ride the wave and be in step with the Lord and the work that he is doing in changing hearts and lives. And you guys are a part of that, as the church is a part of our team, and I want to say thank you so much. We couldn't do the work that we do without you guys, and so very grateful for your partnership with me personally, but that extends to all of the stories and the work that you have heard about today, and there are so many more stories. You are a part of seeing that come to fruition, so thank you. And I will transition now.
That was a smooth transition. I don't know. I feel like when we think of the work of a missionary, which we are all called to, if we're Christians, if we're followers of Christ, we're supposed to be making disciples. And I think, at least for me personally, maybe this isn't a you problem, but a me problem. We think of missionary work as there's some other thing way out there. Maybe there's a lot of spectacle or supernatural stuff. But I think a lot of the time what the work of a missionary looks like is just the ordinary work of loving your neighbor. It's the ordinary work of Zoom calls and going to the store and seeing people that you know and talking to them and attending a church and joining with your fellow Christians there. It's prayer. It's caring for the needy when those things come up. And I think that I always enjoy seeing just how it looks a lot like the kind of stuff we're trying to do here too. So like I'm going to go ahead and pray for Amanda and her ministry, and then we'll do another transition to communion. So Father, we thank you for the work that you were doing. We can see that you have a hand in all of this, and nothing we attempt to do could succeed without your empowering us to do it. And I just, I thank you for the work of Power to Change, for these stories that we hear of people who have received the gospel, who are responding to your call, who are being faithful. And in the midst of that, I know there's just a hundred different challenges that come up, and I just pray that you would be close to Amanda and her coworkers and just with the entire organization as they work to just be faithful in the day-to-day, and also to trust you with what is coming in the future. And we just, as a church that wants to partner with that, just help us to be aware of what we can do to help, and to just keep this mission in particular on our hearts as we pray. And as we turn to communion this morning, Father, we just we want to remember just the commonality we have with churches across the world that gather together and share a table and a meal that commemorates what Christ has done that allows us to be able to do any of this work in the first place. And so as we do that, Father, just help it to impress upon us the bigger picture that you're calling us to see. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our prayer for you this week is that you would go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And remember that Christ is with you always, even to the end of the age.